This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Outsource Accelerator. My name is Derek Gallimore, and today I am joined by Paul Paco. We are speaking live from a hackathon here in Manila, Philippines. So the hackathon movement started a few years ago now, but Paul Paco was actually an early adopter of the hackathon movement and actually started these hackathons in Manila, Philippines, as early as 2013. This podcast is fantastic because it explores the evolution of the whole techie movement, the hackathon movement, and the ecosystem that surrounds that. And Paul is incredibly experienced in this, and he talks about the maturation of the regions of the Philippines and how quickly they're catching up with Manila, but also how quickly Philippines and Manila is actually keeping up or even keeping pace with Silicon Valley. So really a fantastic episode here, and there's a lot to learn. So I hope you enjoy. If you want any of the show notes or contact details for Paul Paco, it is at outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast/episode32. Enjoy. Okay, so joined today by Paul Paco. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Derek.
And we're actually at a hackathon today. It's Sunday in A Space in Makati. And there's, how many teams are there here doing this?
I think by our count, we have 17 teams now. I think there might be 18 or 19 who haven't like signed in, but we should have 17 at least.
And there's a lot of people here drinking a lot of coffee. Have they been working through the night, maybe?
Yeah, oh, they stayed overnight for this one.
Wow. So I want to just, our audience is typically not from the Philippines and they're looking into business and outsourcing. So I want to explore the climate for hackathons and what the budding tech environment is in Manila. So you're at the coalface of that. You run these hackathons?
Yes.
And what are you seeing from the coalface in terms of the development, the grassroots of these hackers and the sort of coding capacity of
Manila? Yeah, so let's provide some context. So we started Angel Hack 5 years ago. So we had the first Angel Hack, we had like 250 developers, and we were one of the few groups who organized it. So I have another hat. I actually work for Smart, which is a telecommunications company, and we have a developer network called Smart DevNet. So we help Angel Hack, which is the biggest hackathon ecosystem in the world, do their hackathon. So basically what that means is every year they have a global series of hackathons, for example, like today, there might be other hackathons happening in other cities at the same time. So I think this year we might be in 50 countries and in about 90 plus cities. Wow. So when we were started, it wasn't very near that number. We were just a few, there were just a few hackathons happening in 2013. And then, but that's why we had 250 developers. And when you're the only one doing it, everyone comes to you, right?
And
then,
and you were early adopters for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so we started a Smart Developer Network in, I think 2012, in Davao. Mm. So even and that's where Duterte, the president of the Philippines, was mayor before he became president. So we started in the province. And there was very good take up. In fact, some of the early winners of our Angel Hack were from Davao, which is kind of strange. Nice. You think a small city like that compared to Metro Manila would have a smaller chance, right? But apparently the tech even in the provinces are at par. So what we've seen is the last 3 years, every time I have a hackathon, even if I try to find a date to make sure I'm the only event happening, it doesn't work out because now there are just too many events happening in Metro Manila at the same time. So like...
you mean like tech concurrently, innovation events or purely hack?
Some hack, some technology related event, or some event that it might not be a hackathon, but all the developers will go there, right? So for example, yesterday was Saturday, we had Google Developer Conference, and they had 1,000 registrants. Wow. So good luck for me getting going from UST, which is about maybe an hour and a half away from Makati, right? If it was in Makati, they can probably like go in and out. Like they probably register in the morning, register also at the hackathon and come back here, right? But because it was in different places in the city, so they had Ignite where they had startups with the invited 26 VCs. Half of them was in Japan, so most of the startups and their developers were there. We have Google Dev, and then Amazon Web Services in another part of the city, in Ortigas. And then we had Social Media Day. So all the devs and all the startups who are into digital media was in. So it was the, like I said, yeah. So you could practically track from 2013. I went from 250, 180, 150, and now we're at 100. So, I mean, even if I had 100, that's still cool because that means I'm 100 registrants.
Yeah.
Because there's just too many things happening now. So,
but it's showing a thriving economy.
Yeah. So in a way, it's I can sincerely say we were part of this, and I think helping build this ecosystem has allowed other organizers, allowed other communities look into it and see that this is something they want to do on a continual basis. It's something profitable to them in terms of skill building, learning new tech, and giving back to the community. So it's just a bubbling. There's a lot of things just going on in the Philippines right now. It was what we have right now was nowhere near where we were 5 years ago.
Right. Yeah. So you've seen an explosion in events. Is there also an explosion in people attending these events?
Yeah. So people events. So I was telling you, like, we had Ignite yesterday. So basically, that was a pitching competition. They had 10 companies. But they had 76 venture capitalists from outside. So uh-huh. If you count even the local angels and VCs who were there, then I was telling you before the podcast, right, that's the most number of VCs I've seen in per square meter. Probably Geeks on the Beach has the same number, but because we're in the beach, it's a bigger area, right? Than Ignite Beach go up in that sense. And then there were other startups who were not even part of the pitching competition because they knew Ignite was gonna be the epicenter for VCs yesterday. So there were a lot of companies there who were not even part of the roster, but you know, it was business matching, it was networking, so everyone was there. So
it's a huge community, huh? And the people that are attending all these hack events, what is the cross section of demographic? Are they all students going to college, or are they working for firms?
Yeah, normally I'll have a few student teams. Maybe if I had like 150, there will be like one or two student teams. But most of them are professional developers who are in working in their own companies, but they want to participate in a hackathon. Number one, to try out new technologies. Number two, meet other developers. Mm. And then number three, like try out new technologies. And maybe like normally when we have a event like this, our global and regional or even local sponsors provide APIs, software development kits, credits. So for example, for this hackathon, Amazon very nicely gave $200 worth of credits to all the developers. So that's cool for them, right? I mean, every attendee gets this kind of credits. Radix and all these other sponsors are going to give away free credits. And then, of course...
it's well supported, yeah. And
very well supported. We have special API prices. So like PayMaya, the local payment gateway here, they're offering a 10,000 peso API price. That's about, maybe for your listeners, it's about $200. Mm-hmm. So you just use an API and you have a chance to win $200. I mean, perfect. What could be nicer than that for a developer?
And so a lot of our audience are... looking at outsourcing in their business, people probably in the US, the UK, and I'm trying to demonstrate that there's a huge pool of skill here and talent. And are these people on the job market? Are they doing startups? Are they trying to fund startups like Silicon Valley, or are they on Upwork? Are they accessible to the job market?
Well, it's all a cross-section. Like, they're probably professional developers, some of them, but they're probably doing some freelancing on the side.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, some of them, they join these competitions and they see that their colleagues actually have a chance of going to Silicon Valley or getting funded. Then they start dreaming and they start wanting to do something on their own. So I've seen quite a few who have evolved, meaning they start from like a startup weekend or a lean startup machine, an angel hack, and then before you know it, they're actually a full-blown startup, and now they're servicing people, and then they're setting up companies.
So the community's creating quite a fertile ground.
So it's a complete ecosystem. I can say there are no gaps in the ecosystem, but in some places it's thinner. So I think like pre-series A, or where you have a prototype and it's about to get traction, there's a lot of people waiting for that. On that, there's a lot of VCs because that's the cheapest part to invest in, right? But there's a cheaper part of that, which is the idea to prototype. But it's a lot more riskier than that part because you have no demonstrable traction. But it's a numbers game, right? If you get more people actually to invest in the idea to prototype part, then I think the funnel will be bigger. So the company I work with, we have a incubator accelerator called IdeaSpace, and we fund 10 startups a year. But we have 600 startups applying every year.
Wow.
And the shortlist is 25, but we get to only fund 10. And we are a big conglomerate. So there's 15 startups that doesn't get funded, man. So I said, feel free, man. Invite all the people listening to this podcast to come and even try to invest in this, because they're already vetted. We've sorted them out. 25 out of 600 isn't bad, man. I think it's a better number than if you're applying to Harvard or Yale. I think that's a better number.
So you're seeing an explosion in people attending these hackathons and these community events. And how does that correlate in terms of the transition into actual startups? And then proportionally, what are you seeing in terms of success of those startups? Right.
So a startup, by definition, is you want to do a business that's never been instantiated in the universe ever. So, that's a startup, right? So meaning like no one knew that an Uber would work. Like if you tell people, I run a transportation business without owning a single car, people will think you're nuts, right? But that's what Uber does. Or I'm going to sell room nights without ever owning a single hotel. That's what Airbnb does. So that's the nature of a startup. So normally a startup has two co-founders. You have a business co-founder, a non-technical co-founder, the guy who has the idea, the one who has seen the pain points and is able to create a model in his mind and say, this is a pain point I really like to solve, right? And this is I'm going to incorporate. And then once they've laid down the idea, they need someone to program that, right, into software. That's when you bring in the technical co-founders. Right. So here's the thing. There are ecosystems where they do a lot of pitches, like Startup Weekends, LSM, where the artifact is a PowerPoint or a pitch. But here in a hackathon, the artifact is a prototype on an app, which is what you need. Because in the end, you can pitch all you want, and you can have, at the end, and all you'll have is a hard disk full of PowerPoint or keynote presentations. But here, you actually see a prototype or an app solving a specific problem. So you combine them together.
Explosion in the startups and startup community. I mean, you said you had 600 applicants, yeah?
Meaning that means it's just an ongoing thing. I mean, we're having more pitching events. We're having more incubator accelerators happening. We now have banks like Union Bank having regular yearly, they'll have a hackathon in Luzon, Visayas, in different parts of our country. So that's never happened before. And normally the ones who supported this before were telcos. But now more and more I'm getting calls from nonprofits. They want to do a hackathon for the advocacies.
Right. Because they're a different themed hackathon.
Yeah, so,
What is the theme of this hackathon here today?
So normally Angel Hack, we don't have a theme. It's very developer-centric. We want the developers to show off what's good. But What we want is for the prototype or the app to be fundable, because at the end you have to pitch a accelerator program in the US, right? So it has to be awesome, meaning it's an awesome idea. Solving a problem the developer thinks is something that needs to be solved, but it should be fundable. So that's it. We have some themes like maybe solve traffic in the Philippines, connectivity, tourism, you know, just as a guide, but we don't normally give them a theme. But other hackathons, I've been in other hackathons where it's about climate change, customer experience, women empowerment, and all these other very specific disaster management. There's a very specific theme, but for Angel Hack, we normally don't have a theme except for the developers to show off how good they are in coding.
Nice. And in terms of your experience, you have very close experience of the quality and technical prowess of the people here. How do you think they compare to, well, I mean, we're sitting in Manila today. How do they compare to people sitting in Davao? And how do they compare to people sitting in Silicon Valley or New York hackathons, for example? Both in terms of, you know, their sort of technical maturity and technical understanding.
I think Silicon Valley is a step, you know, maybe they're a step ahead in terms of they have a clearer proximity to the technologies that are being developed. So you can look at this like as a time machine wherein whatever happens in Silicon Valley will probably understand it, get it maybe 1 to 2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of embracing the technology, by the time the technology hits the Philippines, all the forums like maybe Stack Overflow where you can ask all these questions will be already developed, right? So the Filipinos will be able to have better resources.
It's very quick to catch up. Huh?
Yeah, because so I never had a complaint.
Previously with old education systems, you would used to have to go to Harvard and they held all the information. But now anywhere in the world, a 10-year-old can get a laptop, start coding.
Yes, and kudos to those that we mentioned Harvard. The thing is, Harvard, MIT, Berkeley, you know, they have a program called EDX where all the technology, all the lessons, all the SDKs, they post it online anyway.
Yeah,
so it's a very egalitarian way of spreading information, and we're beneficiaries to it. I've never had a complaint for the last 5-6 years of people who go to the US and they say, you know what, we really don't understand this technology. It's so esoteric, only Americans or Europeans can understand it.
I've
never had that complaint. Like it's always like, this is new technology. It'll take time for me to understand it. But, you know, in the end, they'll figure it out, right? So, and it's maybe later by a year or two, but we'll get there.
Thank you, Paul. That's fantastic.
Thanks, Derek.
Hope you enjoyed that. That was a fantastic chat with Paul Paco, and he is really super clued up on the tech scene and super connected. So if you do want to reach out to Paul Paco, you have his contact details in the show notes. That is at outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast/episode32. And if you have any questions for us, please just reach out to us direct. Email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com.